But we're going to talk about this morning that Jesus is alive. That's our title of our sermon, our message. You want to call it a message? Not a sermon, I guess it's a message. You know, we put words together, call it a message. And if you go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 to 7, we're going to read some scripture. And it says here, "Now go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead." That's verse 7, I believe it is. "He's going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." And so that's the, I believe it's verse 7, is it? Yeah. Praise God. I didn't mark it on my red hole. So what I want to talk about this morning in a few minutes, that if there's no resurrection, if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, our faith is in vain. And, you know, we're all doing this for nothing. But Jesus is risen. And the scriptures have verified and told us that, you know, there is a fact that, you know, many, many people saw Jesus after he was risen from the dead. So as an introduction, let's say that, you know, the account of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, about this Easter morning is a story of our eternal hope that we will live forever with Jesus, with Christ, with all our loved ones, our ancestors who have gone before us. They had some kind of faith. Some of them never heard about Jesus. Some of them never had the message put to them. But the Bible says that God will judge them by their heart. But once you hear about Jesus, then you have to do something with Jesus. But the Bible says that those people who've never heard about Jesus, way back there, you know, God, in his mercy, sees that. Amen? And I believe that we'll have ancestors up there who we don't know, many cousins up there we don't know, relatives. But they're there with the Lord, praise God, amen, because they have some faith in the powers of that be there. And they have the revelation now. So all our loved ones as well as have long since gone. And we read through the Gospels. Our faith is, begins to rise up that Jesus is alive. And one of the first things that happened to me as a young man when I got born again. I was born again when I was 24 years old. You know, I was looking for something. I was praying for some time. And things don't always happen that quickly in my addiction lays, and I got sober, went to treatment centers, and came out, and I was still hungry for something. And I did the 12 steps, and I was hungry for God. I was going to church, I was going to meetings, but yet on the inside of me, I was hungry for something. There was something missing, and I began to do some research, and somehow I come across, while I was in college, the Gospel of Jesus Christ on television with Billy Graham, and then I prayed the sinner's prayer. Then I got born again right there. I mean, I heard about Jesus all my life. I grew up in church, but I was never born again. You know, you could be in church all your life and never have an encounter with God. And you have to invite Jesus. You have to invite him in your heart, yourself, personally. No one can do it for you. You could do it today, right now, before you leave. You could do it right now. You don't have to ask anybody about it. Just ask Jesus, come in your life, and he'll do it. And so we want to read Matthew's account of the resurrection first, that he is risen. The resurrection story is a super wonderful story and account of the miracle of our God raising Jesus from the dead. In fact, Jesus foretold his disciples that this very event, that he would die and rise again, would happen after his crucifixion. His disciples couldn't believe because it was so astonishing that something like this could happen. And so I'm sure they were perplexed, experiencing a variety of emotions. And from a human disbelief, you know, to excitement of the prospect, that this is really true, that Jesus is alive. And so they were forlorn and very upset that he had died. I mean, this is their superstar. I mean, they saw his miracle services. They went to all his places. They saw him raise people from the dead. They saw people heal instantly, blind eyes and you know, lepers heal instantly. And here, Jesus is on the cross, and he died. And then now they're walking around for 3 days, and they're wondering what's happening. And so they're just very, very in disbelief, naturally speaking. How would, we would feel if we were his disciples at that time? How would we feel today if we saw all that wonderful things happening for 3 years, and suddenly in a moment of time, it's gone, stopped, and they're walking around. Let's read Matthew's account and see what happened. Let's go ahead and read here. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 to 7. I'm reading the New Living Translation. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning. His clothes was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. The angel spoke to the woman. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. Now go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The scripture said that some even doubted after he was risen from the dead. After disciples were told to meet the Lord, they headed for a place that Jesus had told them before, and they were challenged by their unbelief, even as they saw him personally. Then later, the Lord chastised them and gave them the authority to preach the gospel all over the world. And the scripture says here, and let's go ahead and read Matthew 28, 16 to 20, in the New Living. When the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go, they saw him and they worshiped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and told them, "I have given you authority, all authority in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teach these new disciples to obey all my commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of age." You know, Jesus is alive. He's in us today. You know, that song, "Even if I don't see him, I believe in him." I've never touched Jesus. I never saw Jesus, but I believe he's alive. And I experienced him spiritually, but not physically. So in Mark's gospel, let's go to Mark's account of the gospel, the account of the disciples. They didn't actually believe Mary when they were told to go and see the disciples and tell them that he was risen. They didn't believe Mary. You know, Mary was one of the ones who first saw Jesus. And Jesus said, "Go and tell my disciples." And Peter, you know, Peter was the one who he ran away. You know, he said, "I'm going to be with you forever, and I'll never forsake you." And as soon as the soldiers came, he took off, just like some of us done in the past. And so he says, "Go tell that rascal." No, he didn't say, "Don't tell the rascal." He said, "Go tell Peter, you know, I'm risen." So let's go to verse 9 of Mark chapter 16 to verse 14, New Living. After Jesus rose from the dead early Sunday morning, the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman whom he had cast 7 demons. This woman apparently, was infested with these spirits. She went to the disciples, who were grieving and weeping, and told them what happened. When she told that Jesus was alive, they had seen him, they didn't believe her. Afterwards, he appeared in a different form to 2 of his followers who were walking from Jerusalem into the country. They rushed to tell the others, but no one believed them. Verse 14, still later, he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead. So these guys still had unbelief. You know, they were not born again. They were not saved. They didn't have spiritual faith like you and I have today because our spirits are changed. But still, they were told to believe, and yet they refused to believe. What is unbelief? What is doubting? Doubting and unbelief, you know. Basically, 2 things. First of all, you don't believe what the truth has told you. You reject the truth. That's unbelief. Secondly, the unbelief is you can't believe if you've never been told. So you need information. So if you didn't know, and you can't believe, then you'll be in unbelief. And so it doesn't really matter if you don't have knowledge. You're not going to get the proper what God wants you to have. And so these, as you can see, this kind of in Mark, everyone was doubting whether or not Jesus was alive and he had been risen from the dead. And We all have opportunity this morning. You have an opportunity this morning to hear the message of what we've been told many, many years ago. I remember when I got saved and later on got filled with the Holy Spirit. About a month later, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I went out into a trance. I went into the spiritual realm. And I experienced God in a more profound way that I cannot explain even to this day. And I had utter experiences with God later on. I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, got to know Him, and it changed my life thoroughly and made me believe more in miracles. The first thing I had when I came, was filled with the Holy Spirit, was that I saw the empty tomb, just like you saw in there. I saw the empty tomb in my spirit. I saw the stone rolled away, and I saw an empty tomb. And the Spirit of God told me that Jesus is alive. And so that's the first thing that happened to me, that the Bible says that Jesus, that God would, by His Holy Spirit, show you and reveal to you truth. And I knew right away. And like I said, had I not experienced the spiritual encounters that I did, I would have never stayed in ministry. And to this very day, I don't think I would ever stay in ministry. And, you know, I don't know if you understand this, but ministry is tough. It's not an easy job to do. It looks easy up here. I'm doing this right now. I'm preaching. It looks glorious and wonderful. But, you know, there are things in life. The enemy attacks you in ways that you never thought could ever happen to you. And so you have to stick to it, and you have to be convinced for yourself. And when I went to Rhema Bible Training College, Brother Hagin taught us, he said, you know, you have to know for yourself that God called you. You know, when things go hard, and when there's no money, when no one likes you, no one wants you, when you're rejected, and no one's standing beside you, and you have to raise up and do something, it's a hard place to be. And you have to keep going, and you have to only know that God called you, that He told you to do this. And so that's why we're doing this, is because Jesus came into our lives, and He's stuck there with us. And I've seen many, many folks who start different things, and they don't end up finishing it. And there's good starters, but not a whole lot of good finishers. Brother Hagin used to say, there's a lot of people who say they're faith people, but when hard times come, they're gone. They get offended, they get hurt, and they're gone, or there's no money, or my children, or my wife, and they're gone. But you have to be convinced for yourself and stand strong, no matter what happens, that Jesus is there, and He's alive, and He's going to strengthen you. So you will have to answer to God ourselves. Each one of us will give account to God. And let's look at John's account, John chapter 20, verse 24 to 31. I'm reading again the New Living Translation. One of those 12 disciples, Thomas, everybody say Thomas. You know, we always say things about Thomas, you know. Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord," but he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands and put my fingers into them and place my hands into the wound of his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, and suddenly, before as Jesus standing among them, "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger right here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into my wound and my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." And the Lord and my God, Thomas exclaimed. And Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." You know, and if you read the First Peter, he says, you know, in the first chapter, I believe it is, you believe in Jesus though you never saw Jesus. You believe in him. You love Jesus even though you've never saw him. And that's what I feel about Jesus. I've never seen Jesus. I believe in him. Because of the power of the gospel, when the word comes, faith comes in you, it's right there, and you have to either accept it. It's real. You know, that's why the Bible says faith comes by hearing. And God gave us that commission to speak the word of God to someone about Jesus. And all of a sudden, faith comes with that word so that you could believe. God gives you the ability to believe no matter who we are. And you can accept the word and say, "I believe." Faith is real. It comes in your heart and you accept it. And so his disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to one recorded in this book. "These are written so that you might continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name." You know, he's talking about life. This life is what we call the Zoe life, what Pastor Ken talked about on Wednesday. Zoe life is what you call the God kind of life. It's not, you know, the life that we have, a human life. It's supernatural life. It's God in us. And when we do things, you know, for God, there's more power there for us when we serve God. Let's visit Luke here. Luke's account of the risen Jesus. Luke chapter 24, verse 1 to 9. Again, the New Living. But early on Sunday morning, the women went into the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone that had been rolled away from the entrance. I want you to understand about the stone being rolled away. Now, I was talking to my wife yesterday in the kitchen, and she was talking about something that is really, really profound, I believe. You know, you can find things in the scriptures that tell you stuff about your life, even reading this account about Jesus being raised from the dead. That my wife says to me, you know, these women were going to the tomb to anoint Jesus, prepare Jesus, and they went to the tomb, and they were asking each other, talking about a problem they've had. A problem that, how could we solve this problem? They couldn't see any way they could solve this problem. How could we women roll away that stone? And so they had a hard time thinking about that, and they're going, what are we going to do? How are we going to solve the situation? And it's like you and me today, right now, you're looking at a problem. How can we solve this problem? How can we solve this issue right now? And you're talking about an incredible situation in your life that you cannot solve, but God has other plans for you. He's got another way of operating than you, what you and I could. And so when they arrived there, the stone was rolled away. And they didn't have to do anything. But I want to tell you something, that God is working for you right now. He's rolled away the stone, so to speak, in your life so that you can have access to the good things that God has planted for you. Can you say amen? Praise God. Amen. God has other ways. And so they had a challenge in their life. And yet at the same time, God was already preparing a place. He has already prepared the answer. And many of you are having situations that you cannot see. They look so impossible, but God in His grace has other plans. Amen? So He's risen from the dead. Verse 2, they found the stone that had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in. They didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. They stood and were puzzled. Two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling clothes. I just got back from the dry cleaners. I mean, Mr. Clean standing there. But anyway, the women were terrified and bowed down their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He is risen. He's risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, that he would rise again the third day. Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 and everyone else what had happened. You know, Luke's account here, Luke later writes another story and over in the book of Acts. Let's go look at the book of Acts. And we see something here, something we can learn. Acts chapter 4, and let's read several scripture verses. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. We're reading to you a lot of scriptures. And Peter and John, you know, they healed the crippled man in a miraculous way, and they were questioned by what power they performed this miracle. In this incident, the disciples were being prevented from preaching any further about Jesus, but they couldn't do it because of the evidence of the miraculous healing before their very eyes, so they couldn't stop them. It's crazy how the devil and his gang want to stop the truth from getting out. And he'll do whatever he takes to prevent that from happening. But Jesus is alive, and he's doing miracles in his church. I sat beside this couple yesterday, and they talk about what God has done in their lives. Can I just mention a couple of things? You know, I don't know if you guys have noticed. I mean, we don't always advertise any bad situations going on in our lives. We don't talk about it. We don't glorify it. But we tell about the good things that Jesus has done. You know, Nathan had a heart attack, a really major heart attack, and he almost died, basically. But he went to the hospital, and he had all these symptoms that anybody else could have. It's a heart attack, blacking out, the pain and all the symptoms and everything else that could happen. But Jesus, you know, and he cried out to Jesus, and he remembered the scriptures, and the Lord healed him from that situation. Amen. You know, the devil will do anything to try to destroy your life. But I'm glad you're alive, Nathan. I'm glad you know the Word and received the Word. And your wife almost died, that her body was actually eating itself. Her body was hungry enough to eat her own. I mean, she's so hungry. I mean, something happened in her body that she was dying. And the doctors couldn't figure out what she was sick and went back and forth to the doctor. And they found out what happened. She had lupus and other things that's going on in her life. Her body was just killing her. And I saw what was going on in their lives. But the Lord healed her. The Lord healed her. And thank God that He is doing this work today. God is healing people even in this place right now. Amen? God wants to deliver you. God wants to heal you. God wants to do something in your life. Praise God. Amen? So let's go read here about Peter and John in this particular situation. Acts chapter 4, verse 1 to 14. The Bible says here, while Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priest and captain of the temple guard and some of the Sadducees. Okay, these leaders were disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there was a resurrection from the dead. Verse 3, they arrested them, and since it was already evening, they put them in jail until the morning. But many of the people who heard their message believed it, so the number of men who believed was total now about 5,000 people. The next day, the council and all the rulers of elders of the teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, "By what power or whose name have you done this?" Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people," the Bible says that we are being questioned today because of this, because of what was done, this deed done for a crippled man. "Do you want to know how he was healed?" Verse 10, "Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the power of the powerful name of Jesus of Nazareth. Then the man crucified, whom God had raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, 'The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone.'" I think some of them say the chief cornerstone. Verse 12, "There is salvation and no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." Verse 13, "And the members of the council were amazed and saw the boldness of Peter and John, who they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing they could say." That's verse 14. You know, there's things happening in people's lives that, you know, I don't care what the devil does. He'll try to do whatever it is to disturb you and to just come and do whatever he wants to do. He'll come to your home, he'll come to your house, he'll do whatever in your mind or through someone else and try to disturb you. The devil is crazy. And but he cannot dispute what's happened in your life. Amen? He cannot dispute what's going on in your life. He's done miracles in your life. He saved you. I know different ones, you know. God has saved you and delivered you from incredible situations. You could have been dead a long time ago, many, many times. Some of you ought to have been dead a long time ago, but Jesus saved you, and you could have been down and so forth and so on. But God is doing these things right now. He's a miraculous God, and He wants to help you. And so we're not, you know, we don't condemn anybody because we've been there ourselves on different occasions. We've all been down the wrong road. But God, you know, in his wisdom, you know, He knows how to get you out of situations right now. There's many, many times, you know, that I could look at back in my life, I could have been dead many, many times. And even after I straightened out a little bit, you know, in fact, I was thinking about Doug and I back there many years ago. We were in university together. We used to sit together up there in our high point and watching everything in the university. And we went to a class. We took a course. I remember, Doug, over the years, we took a course called the Introduction of Philosophy or something like that, and there was a question there that they gave us, you know, the ontological question about God. Does God exist? And so we're just racking our brains out there, you know, intellectually trying to find out about if God exists or not. And so they had a different way of figuring out of how God exists. And so Sometimes people say, well, God doesn't exist, you know. And so I'm glad that God bypasses your brain and goes right to your heart and shows you, reveals something to you, you know. And so we were asking these questions, and I remember, you know, I almost failed philosophy because I got too entangled with different things, you know. So who could take this course, amen? I mean, this is crazy. Anyway, so people say, God doesn't exist. And the ontological argument is that if you could think that God, that there is a God, then there must be a God. Where would that thought come from? People say, well, prove to me that God exists. Well, prove to me that he doesn't exist. And so we know, you know, ourselves, you know, I remember, you see these disciples up here, they're natural people. They're trying to answer questions, and they're not believing that Jesus is alive. And I want to tell you something. I don't care what happens in your life. I don't care if you had a miracle today, and this afternoon, tomorrow, or next day, you'll doubt this has actually happened to you. I don't care if you saw Jesus tonight and tomorrow morning, you'll doubt that you actually had that happen to you. Because in the scriptures, we find that even Peter, you know, he's on the housetop, and he fell over into a trance, and he had a spiritual experience, and God spoke to him. The Spirit of God says, there's some people at your front door. I want you to go with them. And I don't want you to doubt anything about it. Just go. Because you know what happens, you know, when you have an experience, maybe perhaps you got born again, and the devil comes to you and says, you're not born again. I remember the time I got filled with the Holy Spirit, such an encounter with God, just glorious experience. And then the next day, the devil told me, I was speaking in tongues, man, I was speaking in a language I never had before, and I'm just having this glorious eruption, supernatural, godly, heavenly experience. And I enjoyed it. I didn't want to come out of it. And then the next day, the very next day, I'm driving home, the devil says, that didn't happen at all. You that didn't happen. Of course, I'm back in the natural again. Because all this is happening in the spiritual realm. But as my body was in, I'm speaking in tongues in my body. But I'm going through this whole thing. And I don't know about you, but, you know, we're hearing a message that Jesus is risen from the dead. And I don't know what you're thinking about it, but you know, you could either accept that or not accept it. And other things that happened in your life. These guys, you know, we could say, oh, man, I don't know how Peter and those guys, how could they doubt it? They were with Jesus for 3 years. And he was performing miracles. He's multiplying fish and multiplying bread. And that man, he's doing all kinds of things, you know. And I saw his preaching, man. He preached with power and demonstration. And, man, we shook when he preached to our very core. And now he's dead, and he's in the grave, and they're saying he's alive, you know. And so you and I go through the same thing. Maybe this time, maybe the devil told you this time you're not going to get out of that trouble. You're not going to get out of that situation. This time, oh, you got healed one time, but this time is the last time. You'll never come out of that again. I mean, I've gone through this over and over and over again in my life. You know, I look at the story of the Israelites, and the Israelites are a type and shadow of us, Christians, or the church. That I was reading last night, that whatever happened to Israel is an example to you and me to apply to our lives. That we can have encouragement, that we can be comforted by the scripture. And whatever happened to them, you know, can happen to us, but with the hand of God. And I thought about, you know, yesterday, I listened to Pastor Hagin's message twice last night. Again, I went back on YouTube and listened to last Wednesday's message Pastor Hagin taught. And I always get to listen to a pastor because, you know, he's my pastor and our pastor, and we listen to him. And Lynette is our mama, our spiritual mom, and she gives us messages. And so I was listening last night, you know, really late, and listening to the story, that Peter, you remember Peter? You know, he was excited, and he jumps out into the lake, they were out in the lake, right? And there's a big storm coming, and they saw Jesus walking on the water. How about you, if you were at the harbor front, and you saw your husband come walking on the, right? He's walking on the water. Amen? So I don't know. How would you feel if you see Ken walking on the water? Right? What would you say? They said, oh, no, it's a ghost. So they were really afraid that this was happening. But, you know, they were terrified. They said, this is a ghost. So they thought, this is a spirit. They're afraid of a ghost. And I remember my dad used to say, don't be afraid of any ghost. They won't hurt you. Well, how does he know that? I've never saw him deal with any ghosts in my life. I got to tell you a story one time, though. I scared my dad so badly. Can I just go off into a bunny trail for a second? I remember my dad, you know, I'm back home, way back, you know, in the 60s. I was a little boy. And my dad, you know, they used to make these homemade lights. Anybody used to remember you make these homemade lights? You put grease on there and you light them. You know, do you remember that? Anybody like that? Somebody wants to admit it besides me and Maxine? So we were so poor. I mean, I was so poor. Maxine was really poor. I mean, I called her poor when I was poor. I mean, I was poor. And so, anyways, we'd make these. And so the lights would go out at a certain time after my mom and dad read, you know, and so on. And so I was supposed to go and get something by my dad's table. So I'm sneaking. I'm crawling. My dad's already snoring. I'm crawling on my knees, and I'm trying to get something, steal from my dad. You should never steal from your dad. Try to get some tobacco, you know. And so, I mean, I scared him. He told me not to be afraid of ghosts. But anyway, he jumps up, and started yelling, and I started yelling, ah! Oh, man. But anyway, here's Peter. He's on the boat, and he saw Jesus coming. He thought, you know, this is a ghost. So he said, Jesus, Lord, if it's you, call me out on the water. He says, call me out on the water. So Jesus said, come. And he steps on the water. He steps on the water. And he's about to take some steps, and he noticed the wind and the waves. Once he got his eye off Jesus and what he heard Jesus say, because he had the word to step on the water. Some of you have a word to step on the water, but you're looking at the waves. You're so busy looking at the wave that you're sinking right now, and you're crying out to God in your problem, in your situation. But did you know Jesus, as quickly as it's going on, quickly grabbed Peter back? You know? And Jesus said, why did you doubt me? Why did you have unbelief? Where's your faith? And even in his weakest moment, Peter was rescued from God. Did you know that God is right there right now? It doesn't matter if you've doubted him. It doesn't matter what you've thought. You know, like Brother Hagin used to tell us, faith will work in your heart with doubt in your head. Everybody say that. Say, faith will work in my heart with doubt in my head. Say that one more time. Say, faith will work in my heart with doubt in my head. Let me tell you, you'll never get away from doubting as long as you live in this body. The Bible says that Satan has access to your mind, but you don't have to receive it. And it's us to get this wisdom, to understand and learn about this kind of wisdom. It's spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge is wonderful. And so we're able to pull down, Paul says, those thoughts in our mind and take them captive and say, I will not think this way anymore. I will not be afraid of this thought anymore. I remember it took authority over my fear, because I had fear all my life. I had anxiety issues. You know, a lot of people talk about anxiety issues. And we talked about different ones. You know, I was talking to someone about anxiety. I don't have any problems with anxiety. And of course, you know, I'll have a tendency, you know, for something to come back on me. And I had one anxiety attack a number of years ago when I was in Tulsa. It was so crippling. It just takes over your body almost. And I've had those issues. And I remember the second one I had when I was in the University of Winnipeg and Manitoba. And I had an anxiety issue. And It just overtook me. And what happened to me was that fear actually overtook me, and I didn't take my authority. And some of us in here need to take our authority over these things in our own lives. You know, Jesus, I heard something last night profound, and that Pastor Higgins says that, I heard this before, of course, many of you have, that God has done all he can about your problem. Now it's up to you to do something about it. A miracle is not coming unless you do something about it, unless you start believing God and his word. Now listen to me. Peter jumped on that water, and he's walking on the water, and he doubted, but he's going down, and he called out to Jesus, and immediately God grabbed him and took him back onto the boat. And many of us are like that, and we need to get back on the faith, you know, track, and believe God for no matter what's going on in our lives. Faith will work in your head, you know, in your heart, with doubt in your head. And you can never get rid of these kind of thinking forever unless you don't have a mind anymore. We have a freedom. How many people know that we have a freedom of choice? You had a choice to come to church this morning, and you came here this morning. You had a choice to walk out anytime you want to walk out. But you stay here. But you're here this morning. And that's the kind of choice we have every day, to follow God, to follow the Lord. And, you know, I think about how wonderful our Lord is. He's so wonderful and kind to us. And he's given us life. He's given us his spirit. And he's blessing us with good things. So I want to end up with giving you a couple more scriptures, and we'll try to get you out of here before 2 o'clock this afternoon. Everybody say, after his resurrection. Jesus was raised from the dead and made many, many visits to his disciples, his apostles, and showed them the good news to prove to them that he was alive, that he was raised from the dead, and he told them to spread the message of salvation to other people. Church, Jesus is alive. He's alive right now, very much. This means that we need to spread this gospel to other people. Here's what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church about the resurrection, the most important and prominent dynamic speaker or writer of the New Testament here, Paul. The Lord appeared to him and called him as a special messenger to the Gentiles, even though he used to be vehemently against the church, against his message of salvation, of that Jesus is the Savior. People of God can change your heart, and he can turn, you know, they can turn to God anytime. Paul was a man of passion and determination in his effort to destroy the message of the gospel. But God had a plan for him. He was against the church. He was against the message. And God saw fit to touch his life. And the Bible says in the Galatians, when he wrote to the Galatians, he said, when I was, you know, in my mother's womb, God, by his grace, you know, he had a plan for me. And God has a plan for every one of us. You know, maybe it's not, you're not totally in the will of God perfectly, but you're coming to that place where God can use you, and you can feel safe in his arms. And I believe that everyone here, I'm going to pray that everyone here comes to the will of God in perfection, so that you can walk freely with him. So in 1 Corinthians 15:10, the New Living Translation said, you know, we ask ourselves, what does God have in store for me? You know, it's all good news when you're with Jesus. But whatever I am now, he says, the apostle, it is because God poured out his special favor on me. And not without results, I have worked harder than any of the other apostles, yet it was not I, but God was working in me by his grace. You know, we need to let the grace of God work in our lives. God can do in you what you cannot do for yourself. By his grace and mercy, you might feel like this is the last time, I can't make it. But God will strengthen you. He'll strengthen you right now. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, the Bible says, Philippians 4 and 13. It also says that in Ephesians chapter 3, I believe it's verse 19 in there, or 16, somewhere in there, it says that may God in his unlimited power fill you with might and strengthen you. That's what he says, and God wants to strengthen you this morning. Let me read the scripture here in Acts chapter 15, verse 1. Now let me remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before you welcomed it. You still stand firm in it. It is good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. I passed it on to you that the most important and what has been passed on to me, Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time. Most of them who are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born the wrong time, I also saw him. So here is Paul's account. He began to acknowledge a number of people who saw Jesus alive after he was risen from the dead. I have personal friends close to me that saw Jesus. And I know other ministers who saw Jesus come visit them and talk to them. And he is alive. You know, and so I don't dispute them. You know, they're my friends. They saw Jesus. And I've had friends who went to heaven and come back. Heaven is a real place. My mom went to heaven and came back. And I've had different friends. My one pastor, Pastor Rick Shimatero, and he went to heaven. God took him to heaven and showed him. And one of the other visions, the Lord said to him, I want you to help the ministers across Canada. And that's what he's doing today. But later, you know, he had another vision where he went to heaven and he saw different things there. You know, different ones. And, you know, Keith Moore went to heaven. He saw heaven. And he saw his dad there. And if you got loved ones who have died, they're there now. They're not old. They're beautiful. And they're going to, you know, if you have wrinkles now, you won't have wrinkles one day, praise God, amen? You know, and, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe we'll just accept the fact that we're the way we are when we're in heaven, amen? We're all different creatures. So our belief is not in vain. Our belief in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is not in vain. It's real. It's vital. The fact that Jesus is risen from the dead, as a result, we will be raised one day ourselves physically in physical form. We'll have a new body one day. Amen? We will have a new body one day. This body will die. Everybody will die here one day, but God will raise you and give you a brand new body just like Jesus. You can just fly through that door over there without having the door. So in this chapter here, it seems to be that people were having trouble with believing that Jesus actually was alive. And so Paul had to address it. He said, these guys saw Jesus, these people saw Jesus, and they were people that they knew about. So he gave evidence that Jesus is alive. And in the book of Acts, it says that Jesus, there'll be divine appearances of Jesus. And Jesus is appearing in many forms, in many people today. You know, he's visiting people. He's visited Muslims, and he's visited people in China. And appear to them that I'm Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And so, in the book of Acts 23:6-11, it says, Paul realized that some of the members of the high council and Sadducees and some Pharisees, so he shouted, brothers, I'm a Pharisee, as many of my ancestors. I'm on trial because of my hope in the resurrection of the dead. See, people, you know, we are sometimes challenged about the resurrection. And he was addressing this over here. This divided the council of Pharisees and the Sadducees. Verse 8, for the Sadducees say there's no resurrection or angels or spirits, but the Pharisees believe in all of these. So there was a great uproar. Some of the teachers of the religious law who were Pharisees jumped up and began to argue forcefully. We see nothing wrong with him, they shouted. Perhaps a spirit or an angel spoke to him. As the conflict grew even more violent, the commander was afraid they would tear Paul apart, so he ordered his soldiers to go and rescue him by force and take him back to the fortress. That night, the Lord appeared to Paul. Everybody say, the Lord appeared to Paul. And said, be encouraged, Paul, just as you have been a witness of me here in Jerusalem, you must preach the good news in Rome as well. And, you know, thank God for his encouragement. You know, people said here, these Sadducees said, there's no resurrection. You know, if there's no resurrection, we're in a sad state right now if he hasn't been risen from the dead. But so we know that Jesus, you know, he's raised from the dead. Let's read these final scriptures and we're going to close. The Corinthians were hearing what they were hearing, you know, from these people, these religious people. It was affecting their faith. You know, what you hear affects your faith. Who you hear from affects your faith. It's important for you to hear the right thing, the truth of God's word. And when you hear the word of God, it brings faith to you immediately. Amen. So as we see from these scriptures, there was a challenge as to what the Lord had told them before, that he was going to be raised from the dead, and people were arguing still. Sometimes we have to face these kind of things to get rid of unbelief. What the Corinthians were hearing was affecting their faith, so Paul had to correct them and address it so that the evidence from those who saw Jesus after he died, you know, could be verified. He also told them personally, he said, I, Paul, saw Jesus myself. Lastly, let's go ahead and read the scripture in 1 Corinthians 15:23, and we'll close. He says, but tell me this, since we preach Christ rose from the dead, why are some saying that there'll be no resurrection from the dead? For if there's no resurrection from the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. The apostles would be lying about God, for all we said that God raised Christ from the grave, but can't be true if there's no resurrection of the dead. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sin. In this case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope is in Christ only for this life, we are more pitied than anyone else in the world. In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection of the life of the dead has been begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given life. So we see here what we see. And I was going to say one thing about that whole thing about Peter. You know, even in his doubt, God was going to help. God helped him. Jesus helped him. I don't know what you're doubting today, problems that you have in your life. I want to tell you, let the Lord help you with your doubt. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He will help you. And I was reading, you know, Psalm, I believe it's Isaiah 61. You know, the Bible says, is my arm so short that I cannot reach down to you? And the Bible says, the hand of God, is my hand so short that I can't reach you? Is my ear blocked that I cannot hear you? God hears every one of your prayers. And he will answer your prayer. And he is about to answer your prayer this morning. And he's about to reach down into places in your life that you've never, ever thought that's going to ever change in your life. Everybody stand. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. I know we need to see and continue to stand on the fact that Jesus is alive. This day. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Your grace is wonderful, Lord. Thank you. I want you to reflect a moment. Take this time. Let the word of God settle in your heart. And begin to evaluate what God has been spoken to you and what he said to you this morning. Maybe he's confirmed something. Maybe he's revealed something to you. Maybe he wants to encourage you. Be encouraged this morning. Let him work a work in you. that he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. We worship you.